This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Jenny Murray welcoming you to this week's Podcast for Parents. Now, we put a picture on Twitter recently which made us laugh, and I'm sure it amused you too. It was sent to us by Crystal, and it shows her son, then aged 2.5, wearing a red sweater, looking absolutely angelic with something bright red all over his face. She asks, "Have you been playing with my lipstick, Ralph?" He replies, "No." The evidence of the untruth is clear. Why do children tell lies? What do we learn about the development of their cognitive skills from their ability to tell fibs? And if it continues as they get older, how worried should a parent be? Well, Laverne Antrobus is a consultant child and educational psychologist. Laverne, why would a child lie in the face of obvious evidence of a misdemeanour? He had been playing with the lipstick.
He absolutely had been playing with the lipstick. But what's so delightful is that in his mind, he thought he could carry through an idea that, you know, was his own. But the evidence was there. And I think this is what's so fantastic about children lying. I mean, it is quite an ordinary developmental stage. That's what we've got to remember. And as you've said, it starts to give us some clues about how children understand their own thinking and the thinking of others. So in his mind, Mummy couldn't see that he had this lipstick on, and he was going to keep this as a secret for himself.
What's going on when, for example, a teacher asks a parent whether they'd enjoyed their weekend in Italy? They hadn't actually been away. The child had put it in their news book.
Well, I mean, show and tell, tell us your news, is one of those situations I remember as a teacher. And children will tell a fib or a lie because they're a bit bored, they want a bit of stimulation, and actually they're experimenting. They want to see what happens if they do say the things that are in their mind. So I think for that teacher and the parent, you know, they have to start to sort of uncouple, you know, what's going on for the child that they felt in that moment, yeah, I don't want to talk about just playing basketball in the park. We went to Italy.
But what's the best way to handle fibs like that, which I suspect are not uncommon? I remember my mother going to a beetle drive in my school and being told, "Oh, you've recovered quickly." And my mother said, "Recovered quickly from what?" And they said, "Oh, we thought you had a baby boy yesterday." I had made up a baby brother. And I think I was punished quite severely for it.
I mean, I think there's a sort of, there's an interesting line between imagination and a wish and a want for something and lying. And that actually what parents and adults have to do is try and sort of work out the distance between those two things. I think children are often taking risks when they're lying. They want to see, as I've said, what happens, whether or not they're discovered, but also, you know, just to test out theories as to what's going on. I'm not sure that there needs to be sort of massive consequences and punishments for lies such as that, but there have to be sort of measured and understood conversations about why lying does create problems.
What's happening when children tell lies about their friends or their siblings deliberately to get them into trouble?
I think, again, there's a sort of huge, for me, there's a huge tapestry of emotions behind lying. You know, often people lie if they're cross, if they're feeling angry or fearful or guilty or jealous or envious. So, you know, I can remember hearing children say things about friends and friendships in the playground that were completely sort of fantastical. And I think, well, why are you saying that? And there'd often be something behind it. You know, they themselves, the individual, might be feeling a bit sort of unconfident or self-conscious and wanting to create something about themselves, create a story about themselves that makes them feel good. So I think that there is a way in which parents and adults have to look at, you know, what's behind the lie, you know, and sort of uncover it for themselves and then talk to their child about it.
So as a teacher, how would you have handled that sort of thing if it had come to light?
I think I would have said, well, this doesn't seem, you know, to sort of follow through. I don't understand this. And to give children quite a lot of sort of time to sort of recalibrate slightly, you know, to not feel that they've got to continue the lie, that they can save face, I suppose, by being truthful. And that actually, as a teacher, I valued the truth. I understood the motivation for wanting things to seem, you know, different, but that actually my value was placed on them being quite honest.
We've been talking mostly about younger children, I think. I mean, the lipstick guy was only 2.5, to be forgiven, absolutely, obviously. What are teenagers most likely to lie about?
I think teenagers, you know, for them, it's a really tricky moment in time. Actually, again, developmentally quite important. You know, they're wanting to be quite separate. They're not wanting parents or adults to be in their business. You know, they want to be able to be out there exploring and doing the things in the way that they want to. And I think why it's tricky is because, you know, so if we take, for example, going out partying and drinking, you know, there are lots of sort of rules that go with that, which is that, you know, don't drink too much and you're underage. So there are some sort of ordinary consequences with that. How you then talk to your parents about it is quite complex. You know, how do you really say, oh, well, Mum, Dad, you know, I did have a bit too much to drink. Can you pick me up? When you know that your parents are going to be saying, well, you shouldn't be drinking.
But how do children judge the morality of the lie? You know, they're told always you must tell the truth, but they know perfectly well that their dad has a sneaky cigarette from time to time and claims to have quit and always denies he's had one.
Yeah, and that's the litmus test, isn't it, really? You know, how do you create a household where actually the truths are real and the lies are the ones that we all know about? I think that there's a way in which lying becomes, you know, in this in-between space of not hurting someone's feelings or, you know, looking after people. So, you know, granny that's knitted you something that you absolutely hate, your parent might say, well, just say you like it because you don't want to hurt their feeling. So there's a sort of this line of lying whereby, you know, what's the moral high ground? What do we have to absolutely say? Actually, no, that tips the bar and will have X amounts of consequences going with it. And what is lesser that we can talk about as a family?
At what point does it become a cause for concern?
I think when things do become quite dangerous, when there's that really consistent and persistent lying from children. I mean, sometimes I think children that I've encountered, you know, are lying almost without thinking. So they sort of have an instant response to saying, no, it wasn't me, before they've even had a chance to think about it. And I also think that sort of situations where consequences are quite punitive or quite harsh often lead to quite persistent lying, because what children start to learn is that, you know, it's going to be better for me to tell a lie to try and get out of the harsh punishment that might be coming my way.
There have been studies, haven't there, looking at the effects of punitive responses. Is that what the studies tell us, that the harder you punish, the more likely your child is to consistently tell lies?
Well, I think it's a really helpful framework to have in your mind as a parent, because if you hold this line where you say, actually, what I want from you, darling, is that, you know, you always tell me the truth and I will honour that. Your child then tells you the truth, but you still dish out quite a harsh consequence. That doesn't make sense. So I think we've got to be really careful, both in schools and at home, to be saying, we're going to try and separate these things out. We're going to have consequence for the behaviour that's attributed to the lying, but we're going to talk about the lie. So, yes, I absolutely do think that children who get themselves into quite a lot of difficulty with lying are trying to resist and avoid quite a harsh consequence.
So if you are concerned about a child and you think they are seriously lying, what should you do?
I think you've got to demonstrate it from, it's always for me demonstrated by how parents behave and how adults behave. I think you've got to be quite upfront about your own lying, you know, and what you do. And also you have to really start early and say, in this house, we really do value honesty. We are going to take up the issues around the behaviour, but if you tell me the truth, then we can talk about why that's going on. And that's when I think you get an insight into, as I've said, that sort of rich tapestry of emotions around, you know, how a child is feeling that might be leading to these lies.
Levan Antrobus, thank you very much indeed for being with us. And we would like to hear from you if you have stories about, you know, lies where you knew they were lying, but you didn't mind too much. Do let us know on Twitter or email.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.